I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
Hello, David. Welcome, listeners.
Yes, welcome to Film Fandango. We're going to be talking about films old and new, or maybe all new, actually, this week, I think. I think one of those rare occasions we've both seen a brand spanking new movie.
Freshly picked film.
From the field of celluloid. Let's go with yours first, I would suggest. What have you been to see? For God's sake, why?
I have been to see the hotly tipped film, Nocturnal Animals.
What's it been tipped for? Oscar buzz already?
No, it's just been very well received by... Well, I read a 5-star review in The Guardian.
It's got one of those...
I hate The Guardian, though.
...trendy hipster posters with just the actor's face really big and then the words across their face, hasn't it?
Below her face. It's
no, in the ones on the tube, they're all across her face.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe they've got reviews now. Maybe that's where they put the reviews.
So this film...
Yeah.
It's directed by Tom Ford.
What's he done?
Well, he's a famous fashion designer who became a... he does things like fashion, makeup and lipsticks and perfume and stuff like that as well. Very, very high-end stuff. He went into becoming a director. He did... did you see A Single Man?
No.
Which looked beautiful, but wasn't necessarily...
Was that the one with Colin Firth?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember.
About him with... He was a gay man who... I can't remember the story.
The trailer looked a bit like a Chanel advert. Like,
yeah, well,
very crisp suits and fashionable glasses.
Which is pretty much Tom... It's a Tom Ford sort
right,
of...
Right, okay.
High-end look. And very similar to that, this film is very glamorous. But it's very dark... It feels like a bit of a departure for Amy Adams. I'll tell you the brief synopsis of it.
Yes, please do.
Amy Adams is probably in her 40s or something like that. She's a high-flying gallery curator.
Okay.
Her husband, she's got a very handsome second husband who she suspects is having an affair.
Oh, no.
Her previous husband, she's not heard of in the last 20 years until a manuscript arrives the very first copy or draft of his book, and he was a struggling writer, and that was one of the reasons that she left him, because she was quite aspirational in the end and she did not want...
And writers are deadbeats.
Writers are losers. They should be killed.
Yeah,
I mean, they're parasites.
I mean, all of us have thoughts. Most of us don't need to write them down.
Keep them
to yourself.
Yeah. I don't go and tell people about my dreams. You want to be one of those people?
Oh, you imagined something, did you?
Oh.
Did you imagine a little pixie man on a bridge?
Oh, here's
castle.
Yeah.
Did you? Well done.
That's quite good.
Well, it's mine. You can't have it.
Pixie man
on
a bridge.
Little pixie man on a bridge and the castle's mine.
Where's it? Oh. Oh, quite good. Well, tell me more. Anyway, so he's written... This book arrives, and it's... You've sort of got three narratives running through this. You've got her relationship, her not being able to sleep, her failing marriage with her husband.
Right.
You've got the story, which her previous husband has written. which stars, which is, she's reading the book and you see it played out in the film. And he is the, Jake Gyllenhaal is the protagonist in the story. And he plays, and you have flashbacks to when they first met.
Oh, that's interesting. So you've got both the fictional story, but you, do you start to wonder what is based on reality in this fictional story?
It is, no, it's almost as if it, they gradually unfold what happened.
Right.
Both stories at the same pace. It's beautifully done. It's beautifully acted. It feels very... I've got to say this. I was quite worried at the start of the year or everything films feeling the same. But I've seen quite a lot of quite fresh... I'm seeking out these films, I suppose, yeah. Rather than going to see the traditional fare. It's a harrowing tale. I don't know if you... I don't know what I felt of it. I saw it last night. I'm still... sort of regurgitating it over in my head. Is that regurgitating?
I don't think you're regurgitating it over in your head.
Cogitating? Cogitating.
Cogitating. Okay.
Yeah, do you know what that means?
I don't know what that means, no.
It means is that the thought has become a baby in my head.
Okay.
And I'm chewing on...
okay, you're chewing on the thought baby.
And I've regurgitated... I've eaten the thought baby and I've
regurgitated it internally over your brain.
So I'm cognating it.
Cognating it, yeah. Well,
cognating.
Cogurgonating.
Cogurgonating.
Cogurgonating. Well, that magic word has attracted Buddy the Dog to my side.
Do you want me to cogurgonate into your mouth, Buddy? He's licking his lips.
okay, and who is the new husband?
Oh, I don't even know what the actor's name is. Just fine. A good-looking bloke. That character's not really developed. The plot of the book becomes the main story.
Right.
And the plot of the book, what's happening is Jake Gyllenhaal is playing a sort of parallel of him, his character in real life, and his wife and daughter encounter this gang of sort of hoodlums on a road in the middle of nowhere. And things gradually go from bad to worse, and that is almost, I think, some sort of what's the word when it's an allegory for
What happened in their relationship previously.
Sort of, but not.
I mean, I would imagine there's a connection between the fiction and the reality.
Yes, there is a rough connection to it. I mean, it's not really what I quite like about this film. Nothing's really spelled out clearly. It's up to you to make. It's not, here's what this means.
Jake Gyllenhaal's been making some interesting films recently, actually.
He always does that.
Mostly set at night, aren't they, as well? I mean, Nightcrawler was a really good one. Then he did that one called Beast. Do you remember that? That I thought was all right, but I think you enjoyed more. The one where he sees giant spiders. Do you remember that?
I didn't see that one, did I?
I think you did, but...
Oh, I've enjoyed things like Zodiac. It was sort of flawed, but I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Prisoners is he always makes good choices since Donnie Darko, I suppose. He's in that weird, he's a go-to slightly
he's
weird.
Got an oddness to him that suits some film styles and sort of not others. He's never quite broken into the mainstream blockbuster action hero role. I mean, he tried with Prince of Persia, which just didn't take off.
Even in Brokeback Mountain, I wasn't entirely convinced by him in that.
Right. You didn't think that was his real hat?
I didn't think he could ride a horse very well. I give this 8 Marics. Okay. I think it's a fascinating film. It's got Michael Shannon plays the sheriff in there.
He's in a lot of things now, isn't he?
He looks great. He's got one of the most wonderful faces in cinema.
Mm.
He was in the very disappointing...
Midnight Express.
Yeah.
No, he is very good, though. I can see that. There's a couple of these sort of... fascinating looking bloke. So I don't even know if you'd call handsome, but I guess they sort of are.
He's got a very engaging face. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Nocturnal Animals.
Eight Marics. Did I say 8 Marics? I can't remember if I did.
You did say 8 Marics.
I'll say it again. Do you want to say it?
8 Marics.
Okay.
There we go. I think it's time for this. Here is a message from Charlie Hurley, good name, about hyper-normalisation. I recommended Adam Curtis's last documentary, Bitter Lake, last year, and I have to recommend his new one on iPlayer, Hyper-Normalisation. It's incredibly long, but at the end it feels like you're being shown a brief glimpse behind the curtain. I think every now and then something comes along that makes you think about things differently, and Adam Curtis is a genius at it. It's visually incredible, and his choices of horrific footage and upbeat music gives it a nightmare quality. The montage of disaster movie clips is particularly effective and jarring when suddenly you are jerked back to reality. It's bleak but fascinating, and you'll never watch The Rock with Nicolas Cage again in the same way. Well, I mean, that just is... Thank you for your letter, Charlie. I've no idea what he's talking about, but that sounds
I've heard quite a lot.
Fascinating. Do you know what it's about, hypernormalization?
Yeah,
it about sort of desensitization to suffering, or what is it?
So Bitter Lake, first of all, which I watched last year, which is on iPlayer, that's the sort of history of Iraq, but told through footage and a narrator from the 1950s. You get build up the whole picture, which was fascinating, and it's told it with just bits of news footage sort of meshed together, so it feels completely different to...
Yes.
It doesn't hold your hand through the documentary. And hyper-normalisation, I've read people talking about it quite a lot. It's just sort of unveiling, what, as far as I've read from people's opinions, so this is probably wrong, just how our brains are taught to think by media and stuff like that.
Right.
And getting behind the brainwashing effects of that. It might not even be about that, but I think that's what it's about.
Okay.
So watch that if you like.
Bitter Lake and Hyper-Normalisation.
Is Ben Painter's written in. Dear David, Marek, Danielle, Buddy, Brett Goldstein, Tom Bell, and other previous guests. I mean, to be honest, I doubt they listen to any episodes except the ones they're on. No accent required. Good. Over the last few months, I recommended a couple of films to some people which they really enjoyed. After watching them, they asked me where I found out about them, and I was pretty sure that they were from yourselves or guests. Being the lazy person that I am, I just couldn't be fucked to check the archives. Have you ever recommended Skins, a Rock Hudson film, which is a great aside from a slightly wobbly bit in the middle, which is excellent. Likewise, have you recommended Little Murders, an Edit Gold film, which has an amazing Donald Sutherland performance? And also a pretty good film too. If you didn't, I haven't got a clue where I heard them from. Keep watching the films, Ben. I didn't recommend any of those.
No,
films.
Skins and Little Murders have not come through the show previously, as far as I'm aware. An Elliot Gould film with Donald Sutherland.
Yeah.
I mean, they worked together on MASH, didn't they? That's Elliot Gould, isn't it? Yeah. So, I'm glad they got on.
Well, it's nice. I'd like to think they're still friends.
I like when people form little gangs. You know that?
Yeah. You can't beat a gang.
You can't, can you?
Talking of gangs, have you been to see a film?
What, with my gang?
Yeah,
my gang and I went to see a film. Now, I saw a film. It's simultaneous release, one of these, because it's from Rook Films, who don't really have mainstream appeal very often. Rook Films is the company owned and run by Ben Wheatley. So they often produce his directed films, but this is not one of those. This is one written and directed by somebody else. And this is called The Greasy Strangler. Now, this has been getting quite a lot of attention for how much it's splitting people. Some people love it, some people don't think it should exist.
Someone recommended it to our... after seeing I watched the trailer after someone recommended it on either Facebook or...
Yes.
Or some sort of means of communication.
So basically, The Greasy Strangler, I knew nothing about it other than the very brief things I had seen and read round about the place, but none of them really prepare you for what you're about to watch. This is about a father and son who dress. They look like Vic and Bob characters all the way through. Like, if you just look at them.
Yeah, I've
one's
seen
got
the
long white hair and is slightly and is very balding. One has long black hair and is slightly balding. And they wear pink turtlenecks and shorts and take people on complete lies, like the history of disco tours, just walking around closed shops and going, this is where Earth, Wind and Fire met.
If it was like Tim and Eric, they look like Tim and Eric, don't they?
It's very Tim and Eric, yes. Okay. So basically, from the first scene onwards, from the beginning, shall I say, it's clear that you're going to have to change the way you watch things in order to appreciate this, because the dialogue is spoken in an intentionally wooden way all the way through. People do not speak how people speak in it. Like in Tim and Eric, actually, there's just that sort of way of doing things, and it's a bit surreal, and you're never quite sure what's going to happen next. But it's at its heart about a father and son in this codependent, utterly horrible relationship. And the father may or may not, at night, strip naked, cover himself in grease and go out strangling people. That's the story. And it is so weird and...
Isn't there a love interest?
There's a love interest in it as well.
In the trailer, some quite graphic sex scenes as
well. Well, this is it. I've read some reviews after I watched it to sort of see what had people made of it. And many of them, the criticisms are, well, it just tries to be as gross as it possibly can. I couldn't disagree more. Okay. Like, it just has a sense of humour, but isn't afraid to show you certain images. It's not trying to gross you out. It's just they happen to find fat old men with weirdly shaped genitalia funny. So there's prosthetic dicks in it, and... They're either in figure-hugging sort of velour or naked throughout the entire film. Most people are in it. And it's got some Sam Raimi-esque cartoon violence. The violence is never real. It's all stupid. And it's very funny at times as well. Really funny. But I promise you, some people will despise this film.
Is it a comedy or a quirky?
It's basically a fuck you to cliche.
Okay.
It's like it's just doing whatever the fuck it wants. It knows its story isn't really to be taken seriously, and yet somehow it manages to make it moving and affecting at the same time, even though the whole thing is irreverent, you know, and. Its story does make sense. It is very well done. You won't have seen anything like it. We thought Tim and Eric was strange, and that split people.
Oh, I love Tim and Eric. Yeah.
A billion-dollar movie.
Yeah,
this is so much weirder.
This sounds like my sort of film.
I think you'd love it. It's very funny. I really liked it. And it's just the weirdest idea. It's this old man who keeps berating his son for not making his sausages greasy enough. You gotta put more grease on them!
Is it long then? Does it feel over? It feels
no, it's like 90 minutes.
And it's on. You can get this online, can you? Is it just on?
I bought it on one of those, you know, streaming blockbuster equivalents where you can buy a standard definition thing for $3.50.
Okay.
And it's a bit more for an HD version. But it's in some cinemas. It's not general release, obviously, because people will demand their money back.
I'm going to watch it. It sounds great.
But it's from it's a director who's not done very much before, but he wrote and directed this.
It flawed in any way?
You know what? Normally, when things try to show that they know their story isn't worth telling, but they are still doing it nonetheless, they tend to fall apart. I felt a bit like that with Tim and Eric's billion-dollar movie. They didn't really give a shit about their story. And the same is true of the comedy... is it They Came Together? Or We Came Together? One or the other, but it's Paul Rudd and Amy Poehler, where it's mocking very well, and there's some really funny scenes in it, but it's mocking rom-coms. But by the end, you're bored of it because they clearly don't like the story they're telling. They're not really that interested. This doesn't fail at that. This actually, it works, and it's not boring at all. For what it's trying to do, I think it succeeds brilliantly.
How many Davids?
You know, that's tricky, because I don't think I'd ever watch it again, because part of the enjoyment is not knowing where the hell it's going and what is going to happen and what's going to do. For some people, it will be slow because you've got to sort of understand film a bit to know how what they're doing.
Yeah,
you know. I think I'd give it 8. I think I enjoyed it a lot.
I think I'm going to have to watch this film, The Greasy Strangler.
Yeah, but what interestingly, just anything else we could talk about, really, without me spoiling it, but when it comes to the nudity in it, and as I say, there's quite a lot, it actually got me thinking of how prudish mainstream cinema is when it comes to nudity, but not violence. In that these are people's bodies you almost never see in cinema because they're not sexy people who have signed on the dotted line to get naked in this film because they know how attractive they are. These are just normal people looking normal.
Well, that's what's fascinating is nocturnal animals, the Astartes,
yeah,
really overweight women dancing in slow-mo,
yeah,
dressed up as sort of pom-pom girls.
But, and why are there images
like... There's a whole 2 minutes of just completely naked...
Right.
Overweight women dancing, and it's fascinating to see. It's quite shocking because
it is challenging, but doesn't that make you go, fuck, that's the world we live in, where just seeing normal looking people naked is a challenging image, whereas seeing a room full of people machine gunned to death is like, oh, I'm a bit bored of this, I've seen it before.
Yeah.
It's an odd thing we've ended up.
Like my mum said, she said that everyone on TV and film, they all look the same now.
Yeah,
in a way, I should have mentioned before, but they just the whole.
Well, I think it's partly the British being so buttoned up. I mean, not to get too grand theory about it, I honestly don't really have a clue of how we've ended up here. But it would seem that we still hold on to slightly that Victorian thing, or we still haven't shaken it completely off, being like, oh no, we don't talk about that, and we don't do that, and we won't do anything. Whereas the Americans are totally pornography obsessed, so people can only be naked if it's so you can jack off to them.
Yeah.
Whereas mainland Europe are far more sort of groovy and trendy about it. It's like, yeah, we see people naked all the time. What's the problem? Like, I remember seeing a French kids film. When I went to France on a school trip, when I must have been like, I don't know, 12, 13, and there were naked people in that.
Yeah.
And it's because they don't think the naked body is instantly a sexualized image. And that's the reason. They don't see, you know...
Oh, it's because they're animals, mate.
They're absolutely disgusting. Of course anyone's naked body is there for me to wank over. Of course, why else would it be there?
I know, friendship, that's what they're doing it for.
I genuinely think that's an American gift to the world.
Oh gosh.
But yeah, anyway.
Alright, mate. Well, that's about it, I suppose.
That's about it for this week. I mean, it's another short one, but we'll try and get a guest in, or if you'd like longer discussions, then why not write to us? You can go to our website, filmfandango.com, and contact us from there. And please recommend any films you've seen recently or old favourites we haven't talked about before. If we are providing any kind of a service at all, it is to share the films that don't have the publicity budgets to share themselves.
Yes.
Also, we do all of this for free, so if you'd like to donate towards our running costs and keep us going for another week, then please, again, go to filmfandango.com and click on the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you very much.
Thanks a lot.
We'll be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.